May 18th, 2018. And if you quote, the Gemara is in the middle of these derashot as to the first Pesukim in Megillat Esther, was specifically on the name of Ahasuerus. Yesterday, accidentally, we skipped a line, so here we are. It's basically in the middle of the page. If you probably count up from where they're narrow up, it's probably 12 or 14 lines up. It's two words before the end of the line. It says, Ushmuel Amar. So again, it's looking at this name Ahasuerus and looking for some sort of deeper midrashic explanation. Shehushheru pneim shel Yisrael b'yamav keshule kedera during the time of Ahasuerus milashon shachor Ahasuerus, their faces became ashen. Their faces became so black like the sides of a pot. It's a pot which it gets all burnt up. Their faces almost look that way. Why were they ashen in terms of their faces? Because of their sorrow, because of the difficult times. Ahasuerus is rather, any person who thinks about him says, Amar ah, Nerosho. He says, ah. It's like, ah. You know, Ahasuerus, ah, Nerosho. Okay, Verbi Hanina Amar Shakol Naasu Rashin Biyamav. That's the one we skipped to accidentally yesterday, that in that his time period, his kingdom became impoverished. Okay. Then the next words in the pasuk. So we did so far. Vayhi b'imei Ahasuerus. Hu Ahasuerus. Why is it repeat? What do you mean? Hu Ahasuerus. So of course not pishat, but midrash. Hu Ahasuerus. Hu berishom mitechilato ve'ad sofo. The repetition is to tell you he stayed consistent throughout. Don't think he had a good moment. Don't think there was an era during which he started becoming righteous. And we give several other examples in Torah where we have that who, where it's either to say this guy was or this person was good from beginning to end or bad from beginning to end, a certain consistency. Who Esav, who Berishom, Tehillato Va'ad Sofo, it's a pasuk in Torah as well. Who Datan Va'aviram, right, it says, so what's the derasha? Hen berishan mitchilatan v'ad sofan. Again, peshat in the pesukim is it's just a reference. You know, it's that one. Don't which Ahasuerus? It's Ahasuerus says, but the derasha is who Ahasuerus, who datan v'aviram, and so forth. That they stayed consistent in terms of their wickedness. Who Hamelech Ahaz? Who berisho mitchilato v'ad sofan? What's that? Yes, each one of these is unnecessary in the pasuk. In other words, it's talking about Ahaz and it says, who Ahaz? It's talking about Datan Vaviram. It says, who Datan Vaviram? That's the idea in each one of them. Next, Avram hu Avraham. Now, this is not a pasuk in Hamishah Hamshe Torah, but nonetheless, it's a pasuk that describes Avram is Avraham. It's a pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Perek Aleph. So what are we going to do with that? He wasn't wicked. Well, quite the opposite. He was righteous from beginning to end. Yeah, of course, over here it's a little bit different, right? Avram, who Avraham is designated that way. Okay. Who Aharon, u Moshe, right? Hen betzitkan mitchilatan ve'atzofan. V'David, who hakatan. What about this one? It goes out of its way. So he's the young one. Who bekatnuto mitchilato atzofo. What does that mean? He was little from beginning to end? The same way when he was a young man, he was able to turn to others and say, you're greater than me. So too, and there are several stories that demonstrate this. So too, and when he was king, he was able to, well, with Goliath, he wasn't maktin et atzmo. He needed to stand up. Hammolech, next word in the pasuk. Hammolech, right? Hu Ahasuerus, hammolech. So we were kind of talking past tense, and now it's, to a certain extent, driving us forward. Vayhi bimei Ahasuerus, it should say something like, shemalach. It says, hammolech.
He's still a king.
Well, yeah, he's not still a king. Let's be honest. We got someone else, kingship, right? We got Donald Trump. It's not Ahasuerus. But they wrote it, but it's a strange formulation. We don't do that in Torah, in Nevi'im, Ketubim. I understand. The word hammolech is, in terms of its conjugation, amarav shemalach me'atzmo. Hammolech is understood as an active malchut. He pushed himself in. Is that positive or negative? Well, it could be both ways. And the Gemara says, amrela l'shevach, amrela l'gnai. Some translate this understanding of Ahasuerus pushing pushing himself into the kingship. What does it mean he pushed himself in? It means he wasn't part of a royal family, right? He pushed himself in. Some have it as positive, some have it as negative. Either he earned it. Those who say, well, this is a positive mention of Ahasuerush at the beginning. It's delahava inish. There was not a person, dehashiv lemalka, who was important enough to be for that distinguished position, kavate, like him. So on the one hand, you could read it as positive. Hamolech, he pushed himself in because there was no one else as good as him. Vamrela lignai, others have it as negative. How would you have it as negative? He's an overachiever. No. You want to know how he got his way in? The same way everyone who's corrupt gets their way in. How do they? The lahava hazel malchuta. He wasn't ra'ui. He wasn't right. He wasn't the right person. He wasn't lineage. That certainly the Chachamim understand. Umamuna yetera hu diyahiv vikam. He paid extra money in order to push his way in.
Bribe, con them.
He was a corrupt person. You know, things haven't changed at all, right? Mehodu ve'at kush. Mehodu ve'at kush.
Not be the brightest guy in the world, you know?
It's not clear. Listen, this much I can tell you. The stories you were told as a kid certainly portray him as silly and drunk and so forth. Yeah, just talk about reality. 127 countries. We'll talk about in just a second the Gemara where they span. But when the Gemara, certainly the Chachamim's vision is this is worldwide domination. It's hard to argue who was a dib. He would have been overthrown, or he wouldn't be able to get to there in the first place. That's A. Gullible, I don't know, or he had political. I'm not certain, Joey.
He certainly
is able to turn and does turn to his ministers and ask them for advice, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's not a negative thing. I mean, you have to take this from the vantage point of, you know, the kings and the presidents who make decisions on their own, and you wish they were talking to advisors. Now, in contrast, and this is a point I make once in a while, in contrast to the king of Nineveh, which book? Sefer Yonah, Ahasuerush is several times described as sitting on his chair. Right, Hayoshev al kiseh malchuto. The king of Nineveh gets off of his chair. There's a major contrast in my mind. One's active and involved and thinking about the people, whereas Ahasuerush seems more distant. Anyhow, I'm just saying, in terms of his own description from Megillat Esther, you can't really make him out so negative or positive. Next, Mehodu v'ad Kush. The pasuk continues and says he was the king from the country of Hodu until Kush. What's that? Rabu Shmuel. So there's Mahlok between Emoraim. Where were these places? Hadamar Mehodu B'Sof HaOlam B'Kush B'Sof HaOlam. One says one was on one side of the globe and the other one was on the other side of the globe. I know this is prior to America, right? Don't say globe, say of Asia, let's say, right? In other words, we're not dealing, the Chachamim are centuries away from America. The Hadamar Hodu V'Kush G'Beh Dadeh HaVukayme. The other one, his opinion, now why they're, I'll tell you what his opinion is, they were situated right next to each other. That's such a wonderful thing to say. He was the king from Hodu V'ad Kush, like from Brooklyn to Manhattan, that's not so big. Keshem Shemalach Al Hodu V'Kush Kach Malach Misof Arnam V'ad Sofa. And the description of the Pesukim is, it's HaMolech Mehodu V'ad Kush Shevach V'Esrim U'Me'a Medina. The same way he was in complete dominance and control of those two, so to the rest of the world. Now what are they really arguing about? It's not clear. The Rav and Shemuel look in the Pesukim. It seems over here that you have to chalk this up to some sort of tradition. Where are they coming? One says one side of the world and the other side of the world. He has proof for that. In other words, is there a linguistic machloket over here? It seems, the best I have in terms of interpreting this Gemara, different traditions in terms of where these places were or different geographical knowledge. Okay, and it continues the Gemara. Kayose Badavar. Similar statement in terms of the second opinion, right? The second opinion was that they were right next to each other, but the significance was he was in control of everything just like those two which were right next to each other. Here's a similar pasuk. This pasuk is in Sefer Melachim. What's the pasuk? Kihu, this is talking about Shlomo, hu rode bechol ever hanahar, mitipsah ve'ad aza, bechol malche ever hanahar ve'shalom hayalo mikol avadav misaviv. So it's a description of specific places, but at the same time of everything. So what was it? Shlomo was king of everything or specific places? Okay, so what are we going to do with this? Rabu Shmuel hadamar tifsach b'sof ha'olam ve'aza b'sof ha'olam. One opinion says, you want to know what these two places are? They're describing, they're pinpointing one place, one on one side of the world and the other side of the world. What's the other one going to, what's the other Emorah going to say? They're right next to each other, but it's a description of the same way he was in control of those two, which are right next. So to the whole world, V'hadama tifsach ve'azah, these two places that Shlomo had control over, Behadeh hadadeh havu kayyemeh, hadeh hadadeh means together, havu, they were kayyemeh situated. Kayyem, right? Keshem she'malach ha'tifsach ve'al'azah, kach malach al kol ha'olam kulo. Good. But the next
one,
says you, not the rabbis. The rabbis certainly have a vision here of world domination, both with Shlomo, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, and certainly with Ahasuerus. That's their understanding. I don't know. You could bring your history books somewhere or toss them at the door. The Chachamim certainly have a world, international dominance over here. What do you want me to tell you? Continues the Gemara, and it says, the Pasuk, right? Okay. Vayhi b'mei Ahasuerus hu Ahasuerus ha-molech mehodu ve'ad kush sheva ve'esrim u'me'a medina. Something strange about that. It goes 7, 20, 100. The lifetime of Asara, she lived... That's the order we expect. Where else do we have this out of order type of business? Yes. Funny thing, right? Well, the Gemara is going to be all bothered by the fact that this is out of order. It goes in the opposite order. We do it every day during Omer. Why do we do it every day during Omer?
The way you count.
What? Why we count it that way? Who counts in Hebrew like that? Who talks in English like that? We say 48, we say 48. The answer is Magen Abraham, quoting from Gemara Masechet Yoma, says that this was, in earlier languages, a normal way of counting it. In other words, this was, and in fact, and how do you do it in Arabic? How do you say 48 in Arabic? In that order. And the way you do it in, and the way you do it in Yiddish as well, which are the dominant languages of the Jews, is also in the upper order. So for a long time, again, Abraham says that's why we're doing it that way. The way you count in Yiddish is you put the smaller number before the bigger number. Yeah. Okay, so that made a lot of sense because you're doing it parallel somewhat to the way you spoke. We don't speak like that any longer. We speak English, Hebrew maybe, Spanish, What happened? 25. You say the number. What happened over here? So what seems to have happened over here is that this got part of our tradition. And we just do it this way. As a matter of fact, I remember Rabbi Schachter, he's one of the Rashi Yeshiva, the prominent Rashi Yeshiva of Yeshiva University. He once talked about why we look forward to Sanhedrin. He had bigger issues and he had smaller issues. One of his smaller issues was, so we won't have to laugh at ourselves every time we say, Hayom Shemona ve'arba'im yom la'omer. Why are we doing that? We're doing that because it's part, and you need Sanhedrin in order to do away with it. But anyway, the Gemara says it's strange. Why is it doing it in that order? Amar of Hasta, this is the significance of that order. Batech la malach al sheva. He started slowly. First 7. Ulbasof malach al 20. Then 20. And then? Ulbasof malach al me'ah. And so it's incrementally, but it doesn't mean 7, 20, 100. It means 7 plus 20 plus 100, 127, I believe. Ela me'ah. Beautiful. Beautiful, you explained to me, 7, 20, and 100. Beautiful, because it's describing how he came, and all right, throw in some sort of historical knowledge over here for us to understand the Ahasuerus better. Well, 1 second, we have a few places in the Torah besides Sfirat Ha'omer the way we do it, where it does this order as well. Are you going to have a drasha for each one of these? What about this one? Ela me'atav, which means, what about this? Ushne haye Amram. Amram was the father of Moshe. Yeah, it was, what was it? Sheva, Ushloshim, Umachana, Maita Rashbe. Oh, wait, what do you got? You got a derasha over here? Because it's going out of order. So he says, so in other words, maybe that's just the way sometimes we talk. Shaneh hacha says, no. Now this is a good derasha. Dekra yeterahu. He says, the whole pasuk was unnecessary. Once you told me, mehodu v'ad kush, chalas. Mehodu v'ad kush means the whole world. Then you say, and it was 127 countries. What's the purpose of telling 127? The whole thing is unnecessary. The whole thing is extraneous. That's coming to teach you 7, 20, and 100. Amram, if you don't tell me how old he was, And you understand the difference over here. So the Gemara says the whole pasuk over here at the beginning of Megillat Esther was unnecessary. Make a derasha in it. The pasuk by Amram wasn't unnecessary. You got to tell me his age. So it says Gemara, Shane hachad, shone po, dikra yeterahu. It's an extra pasuk. Michdeketi, but already says, mehodu vad kush. Sheva ve'esrim me'am medina lamali. Why do I need those words as well? Says Gemara, shema mina. This is there too. Tell me, lidrasha, to be doresh this pasuk in order to understand how Ahasuerus came to power. So it comes back to the question, was he a smart guy? Well, it's not as if he walked into this. It's not as if he got lucky. He worked his way up. 7, 20, 100. This was a person who was pretty put together. We turn him into... quite the opposite. We turn him into a lebcha. But the Chachamim certainly don't see him that way. And Megillat Esther, if you read it carefully, does it. The only reason we do that probably is because of all his parties and all his drinking.
Well, that's what they did.
That was that culture. That culture was a culture filled with sexuality. Ooh. And it was like 21st century America. It was filled with sexuality and drinking and bathhouses and orgies and all this sort of matter. We know this for a fact. As a matter of fact, I mentioned this Purim time in some class or something like that. The question is, why there was such sniyot? They had a Rabbi Kohn Shul situation. They had Bet Hanashim and a Mishteh over there, and there was Bet HaHashverosh, and that's where the men were ostensibly, right? There was such sniyot. There was such a nice parties. They had separate kingdoms.
Isn't that the Arab myth? You see that in Dubai today, right?
You do today, but that was, there was...
Is that what was going on?
It certainly doesn't sound.
So there's a fellow, his name is
Rabbi Yoni Grossman, who you might know from Tanakh studies. So he suggests, if I'm not mistaken, it was him, he found a document, an early document from that time period, that suggests what they would do at their party is the following. You send your wife next door. You come in here, and there's all the harlots and prostitutes, and that's where the action's going on. And not only was it, not siniyut, it was set in place. In other words, the women knew exactly what was going on. That was part of the party. It's an amazing thing that we read it, and you don't get that. What's missing conspicuously, whenever you're talking about a drunk society, it always goes hand in hand with sexuality. And Megillat Esther, you don't have much of that until Haman at the end with his
name. So we're very kosher today.
don't, I'll text him. Okay, so.
But the question I had for the 127, is there correlation between Sarado?
Certainly, the Midrash, I'm not sure if it's a Gemara here as well. I know it's in a Midrash. I forgot which one of the rabbis, one of the Chachamim, one of the Tanaim, one of the Mishnah, I think Rabbi Tal talked about this once even. He saw that people were dozing off. And so he opened up the Darashan. He said, 127, just like 127 of Hayei Sarah, what's the connection? I don't know. I don't remember the answer to prove it to you. That in terms of the Karvala, I remember in high school as well. I remember we had a teacher, social studies teacher, but she came from a religious background. She wanted to instill nice religious atmosphere in the classroom, so she did a quiz for us on right before Purim, and she asked these. So I got that one, and she asked all these sorts of questions. But I don't know about the significance of it aside from it's the same number. Tanu Rabbanan Shalosha Malchu Bekipa. There were three kings who were molech bekipah. Kippah generally is seen as something that encompasses, something that goes over. So the idea over here is that they were in charge of the entire world. They had the kippah. They had, almost like a dome over the whole world. Who are these three kings? We're expecting Shlomo. We already saw Shlomo, right? We're expecting him. Ahashverosh we handled. Who are the other two? Or who's the other one? It says Gemara, who were they? Ve'eluhen Ahav. Ahav, the king in the time of Eliyahu. The Hashverosh and Nebuchadnezzar. You have Pesukim for this? Ahav dichtiv. Hi, Adonai Elohecha, im yesh goyim mamlecha asher lo shalach Adonai Sham nevakeshcha. This pasuk, Ahav says, Eliyahu, I looked all over for you. There's not, I swear by HaKadosh, I swear by God, there's not a single kingdom whom I didn't swear in to tell me where you were. How did he have access to every kingdom to swear them in? Obviously, he had control over them, say the Chachamim, right? If not for the fact that Ahav was actually in charge of every single mamlacha, as he says, I mean, you could ask questions, but you can't swear them in. Kish, get out of my face. Nebuchadnezzar, you have a pasuk that Nebuchadnezzar was so powerful over everything. So there's a pasuk which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's testimony. Where's this pasuk? From Yeshaya and Yirmiyahu? Yes, and this is a pasuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu's testimony. There won't be a single place which won't become and will not be pressured and put down by Nebuchadnezzar. Yani, he will and did take over everything, at least. That's the way the Chachamim wrote. Ahashverosh hadei Amaran. Ahashverosh, we brought a derasha for that. Sheva ve'esum me'a medina. Mehod v'akush, rather. Okay. Now the Gemara says, v'tu leka. V'tu ve'od leka en. Only three kings had control over the whole world. We mentioned one earlier, Shlomo. What happened to Shlomo? The Ha'ikah Shlomo answers the Gemara, La Salik Malchuteh. Salik means to go up. Malchuteh means his kingship. His kingship, the Gemara seems to suggest, his kingship never fulfilled itself fully. This is really building, as Rashi writes, building off of a Midrash, a Masechi Kitin. Midrash, a Masechi Kitin describes Shlomo is trying, you may have heard this story, he's trying to get the Shamir, he's trying to get a specific, he doesn't want to use utensils on the stones for the Mikdash, he wants to get those worms that will do it. So where does he turn? To none other than the demons, to the Shedim. That's the description of the Gemara. And he comes in contact with this Ashmedai, who's the king of the demons, says the Gemara Masechi Kitin, and he messes up Shlomo. So says the Gemara over here, building off of that Midrash, Shlomo had all sorts of issues. He never came to full fruition in his kingship. Says the Gemara, but wait a second, when did that take place? Did that take place in the middle of his kingship, and he never came back? Of course, he never came back. Maybe he just had a bump in the road. Listen, there is a hanichal means it's understood, according to the opinion who says, listen, first he was malach, he was king, and then he was idiot, he lost his kingship. All right, you don't put him in the list because he never got the whole deal. Elamande amar malach vehidiot umalach, but there's another opinion who says, yeah, he had those that pitfall in the middle, but he brushed off the dust, got up, and took over. Mayikalimimar answers the Gemara. Mayikalimimar, Mayesh Lomar, why isn't he in our list? Answers the Gemara, Shlomo milta aharita havabe. Shlomo was on a whole nother level. Why? Even better or worse? Says the Gemara, Shemalach ala ilyonim vala tahtonim. He was king not only over the lower realms, but the upper realms as well. Says Charlie somehow, he's based on Rashi, says basically he was melech al hashedim as well. Shneimar v'yeshev Shlomo al kiseh amunai. Okay, so that's it. He's sitting on the kingship, the seat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's in charge of everything, much more than those. V'ha'avasanheret. What about Melech Sanheriv? Also, not such a great one. Dichtiv mi bechol Elohe ha'aratzot ha'ele asher hisilu et arsam miyadi. So if you recall, and so he's sending out that message at that time.
There wasn't any other kings
that
what's
that?
The Goyim-like? Wasn't there a king over
Yehud
people?
No, but what does that have
people?
To do?
Why? Because we're talking about all over the world.
We're talking about the whole world.
I understand. So Shlomo was a melech on the
whole world. Also? Yeah, that's the understanding of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, this Pasuk by Sanherev, he talks about, Mibichol Elohe ha'arasot ha'ele asher hisilu et arsam miyadim. So it seems to be talking about all the countries that he has a full control. Answers the Gemara, ha'ika Yerushalayim de la kavsha. So Sanherev was never able to conquer Yerushalayim, right? He had all sorts of problems when he got there. So he got everything except for Yerushalayim. Ha'ika Daryavish. What about Darius? What about King Daryavish? Who told you? Dechtiv Dayavesh Malka Katav Lechol Amamaya. He wrote to all the country, to all the nations, Umaya, Vilishnaya, every single one of the countries, nations, nationalities, Did Dayeran Bechol Ara, that lived in the entire Shalmachon Yiske. So he has this statement over there in which he's writing to all of them, and he's sending a message that's related to Daniel, if I'm not mistaken. But anyhow, he's writing to all of them, so. What are you going to do with this pasuk? Right, he's decreeing the greatness of Daniel. And he's writing it to all of his countries, all of the countries. He must have had control. Answers the Gemara, Ha'ika Sheva de la Malach Alayu. It says Daryavesh, there were seven he didn't have control over. Who told you? Where'd you come up with that? Well, how many countries? How many countries? 127. So if we find the pasuk that says that he has 120, that'll be the proof. Dichtiv. Says the pasuk says here in Sefer Daniel as well, Shevar Kodam Daryavesh Vahakim al Malchutel La Ahashta Darpanya, that means his ministers, he appointed ministers onto how many countries? Me'ah Ve'isrim Dile Havon Bechon Malchutel, they'll be all over his kingship. 120, not 127.
Where is it in Megillah, by the way?
Absolutely. Ha'ahashtar penim b'nei ha'ramachim. Yeah, but it means ha'ahashtar penim. There it is. No, ha'ahashtar penim b'nei ha'ramachim refers to the ministers. They would be. V'ha'ika Koresh. What about Koresh? Was another one. So a decent king. Dichtiv ko amar Koresh melech paras. Kol mamlechot ha'aretz natan li amonai. The statement of Koresh is, I got all of mamlechot ha'aretz, all the kingdoms of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me. Now who's speaking? Who was speaking in the other pasuk here? Well, the narrator of that book. It was a description of what happened, right? He sent to all these countries. He sent to this. Over here, who's speaking? Koresh. Koresh is boasting about himself. I got everything. Says the Gemara, who said he actually had it? Hatam ishtabuhe hu dekamishtabach benafsheh. He didn't actually had it. He just was able to boast about it, even if it was not truthful, even if it lacked truthfulness. So if you, we summarize the Dirashot here in the Gemara that we saw today. Again, we started with finishing up the Ahasuerus Dirashot. Then we talked about Hu Ahasuerus mitchilato ve'ad sofo berishut and all those other examples. Hamolech, we said he pushed himself into the Malchut, either positively or negatively. Hodavad Kush, are they on one side or the other side? We see that elsewhere as well with Shlomo, but when it comes down to it, it's all the countries of the world. 127, why does it go in the opposite order? That was the way he worked himself up. Then lastly, we talked about the three kings that had control of the entire world in the eyes of the Chachamim. Shlomo is left off because he didn't. He had Mitzrayim. Shlomo is left off. The Gemara says one of two reasons. Either he never saw it through to its full fruition, or because, as the Gemara, he had something even greater. He had the Ma'ala Ulamata. And then the Gemara challenges, what about Koresh? What about Sanherib? And what about Daryavish? And the Gemara gives a response on each one of them, that they weren't actually in control of all. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.